Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Thanks, Jeremy. I love that. It's amazing. Good morning. Awesome. How are we? We good? Man, I don't know about you, but this is porch weather. Yeah, and the last night we had some friends over, and we have my mother-in-law in town from the California, Southern California area, and so it was really beautiful because we have all these southern porches, right, where you get to sit and just relax, and the wind was blowing, so it kept the mosquitoes at bay, and I was like, yes, Lord, you are in the south. So just hear that. The Lord's in the south. I don't know about you, but this past Tuesday, I'm going to share some things. There was this storm, and we live about a mile from Main Street in downtown, so I don't know if everybody got it, but on Tuesday morning, about 6 a.m., this giant storm decided to roll in, and I wasn't going to say this, but this is just such a funny story, but we have women's prayer in the mornings on Tuesday, and I have never been, I have to confess. But there's some really dedicated people that go every Tuesday morning for women's prayer at the office, and one of them was Candace, and she walked through that storm to get to prayer. That just tells you how amazing our pastor is. But anyways, yes. So, but I don't know if you know, but the lightning was so crazy, and it was striking pretty close to our house, and the thunder was crazy, and it reminded me of being back in Oklahoma with those beautiful storms. And of course, it meant that everyone was in my bed. You know what I mean? Like dogs, kids, everybody. Everybody's awake. Everybody's a little freaked out. But I think it was beautiful because God has actually been speaking to me about storms. And I thought, man, God, this is so cool that you are bringing this in. And this week has been an abundance of storms and rain. And what was so interesting to me is that even those storms can sometimes have the possibility to bring destruction or sometimes cause destruction, they are also very much needed. And so it's really interesting because it's how we perceive storms that we tend to deem it good or bad, right? So some of us might have experience with storms that are like a little crazy. I grew up in Oklahoma. You can just imagine, we have the largest tornado that's ever hit the country was in Oklahoma, and it was a mile wide. Yes. But I want to tell you about this because in my perceptions, like these storms here in the South are not nearly as crazy as what we've experienced. But my perception of them is based off of one memory as a kid, which was that I bought brand spanking new shoes one day. Yes, and I had this cool hangout behind this couch where I put my new shoes, right? And I was playing because it was a bright, sunny day. And then all of a sudden, we get a call from my dad. I will never forget it. And he's like, hey, talking to my mom, you need to grab the kids and you need to take them next door and you guys need to get into the shelter. There's a tornado headed right your way. So mom's like, get your shoes. And I'm like, where's my shoes? And I'm like running around. My mom's yelling, like, get your shoes. And I'm like, I don't know where they are. And so I have to run outside in socks in the rain. And I will never forget that moment. And then growing up, everyone made fun of me. My family's like, hey, you got your shoes? I'm like, thanks, guys, right? But it's our perception and our memories that base a lot of the times whether we deem storms good or bad. And some of you guys, storms might mean something beautiful, like sitting on a porch and listening to the rain and the thunder so it doesn't bring anxiety when a storm comes. But no matter how you view or experience storms, they have the possibility to cause significant damage and destruction. But they also are vital to maintaining balance within the earth. And often the bigger storms, the ones that produce the most rain, is what actually helps provide the nutrients that our soil might need, and sometimes even help spread seed to bring or even produce life. Oh, this is gonna get good, guys. I'm so excited. So storms are often the precursors to the start of life. Ever heard that beautiful saying that says, April showers bring May flowers, right? Without storms, the soil would actually become too hard and the temperature of the earth would become too hot for any vegetation to grow. So without storms, we would not eat. Oh, yeah. But it's easy to look at a storm right now and deem it good and think about all the beautiful things that it does because we're in dry, comfort, beautiful, sunshiny weather. But it is a lot different to deem it good when you are walking through the destruction of homes or when you are picking up the debris from, let's say, Hurricane Helene, or even just the fear that it might stir up in us of what could possibly happen. It's hard to deem that emotionally, like, oh man, is this a good storm? I don't know. But even though storms can produce destruction, they also, man, are beautiful. They're beautiful. But I believe storms hang in the tension of the gray area. So hear me out. They're neither good or bad. They actually have the potential to be both. And it's what we do with the stirring up, the broken branches, the barely surviving, that we see the beauty of what's birthed from it. So as I was praying and preparing for today, I felt like people have actually been going through some storms. And they might have even taken a few pieces of you. But I want to encourage you to look at the storm that you're walking through or that you have walked through. And I want you to, instead of sit in the destruction, I want you to allow that stirring up, the spreading of seed, the start of life to bring hope to your heart, to your mind, and to your spirit today. Okay, because I want to propose something that not all storms are attacks on your life. Some storms, even if they are super hard to walk through, cause us to become awakened, to bring us back to life, to what needs our attention and what we're supposed to birth. So, one of my favorite stories when we talk about storms, and you're going to be like, is it Jonah? Just thought you should know that. You thought that I was going to do Jesus walking on the water? Great. Just wanted you to know. We're going to go to Nehemiah. Can we go to, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up. We're going to start in the first chapter. It's one of my favorite stories to read to show that not all storms or hardships are meant to knock us down. But sometimes they bring direction and they stir up a burden inside of us of what we're supposed to birth. Man. So we're going to start with verse 3. And I'm going to give you a little update of verse 1 and 2 just really quickly, just so that we get to where we're going. But Nehemiah has just asked his friend about the state of Jerusalem and the Jews who had escaped and survived captivity. And this is what his friend's reply was. So Nehemiah 1, chapter 3, and it says, and they said to me, who? The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So there's a couple of things that I want to point out. What Nehemiah felt hearing about Jerusalem and its people, it felt like a storm had just hit him. because of his love for people, because of the empathy that he carried, just hearing of the destruction and distress caused him to sit down and weep and mourn. And not just, it doesn't just say for an hour. It doesn't just say like, hey, for a day. It says many days. And I don't know if you need to hear this, but this gives us full permission to feel the weight of a storm. It's okay. But what's beautiful about this story is that Nehemiah, allowed the storm, the destruction, to birth something inside of him. And it revealed a passion that ignited a fire inside of him that was so heavy, too big to carry, that it led him to the feet of God. I have found in my life some of the things that have felt the most weighty or heavy, the things that have moved me to tears, are the very thing that I was called to carry. Because I believe God is using people to bring change to the things they're burdened for. Because when they're too big, and we can't do it by ourselves, then it leads us to prayer. And there is nothing more powerful than a person that prays with a burden to see victory in an area that seems impossible. There's nothing. And this is what Nehemiah's storm turned into. So we're going to go down. We're going to skip down to verse 5 because I want to read Nehemiah's prayer because it shows us the journey of what it looks like for a man with a burden to repent, stand on the promises of God, and pray for partnership for the birthing of what is next. Because he allowed the storm to stir in him, but not destroy him. He allowed the storm to cause an awakening inside of him to be able to stand and believe for the impossible. Okay. So we're going to go 5 through 11 because I think it's important for you to hear what this caused inside of him and the prayer that came out. So verse 5, it says, "And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please, please," I love this. He's crying out to God. "Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night." Day and night, "for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we," not them, "that we have sinned against you." That's what happens when you get a burden, because it's not them, it becomes us. You put it onto you. "So both my father's house and I have sinned." Again, he claims it. "We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, not the ordinance which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of heaven, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to a place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now, these are your servants and your people you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand." And I want to point this out. "Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." Who? His compassion and empathy led to days of prayer and fasting. And those prayers were passionate prayers of repentance and standing on the promises of God. He took ownership for what had been done and not blamed others, not giving excuses. Because that's what good leaders and shepherds do. And the prayer ends with, Lord, be with me. Grant me mercy with the king. His burden for his people led him to prayer, which led him to what needed to be birthed. Bill Johnson said recently, he said, the anguish, I want you to get this, because this literally shook me. The anguish of prayer is the evidence that something's about to be birthed. When something stirs up in us enough to bring us to our knees in prayer for days and brings us to repentance, it often is an indicator that you carry the solution. And you were designed to birth it. God, let us be a people that find what burdens us so that we become a passionate people of prayer. To change things, to shift things. So Nehemiah goes in front of the king. And the king gives him permission to go rebuild the wall. But I want to point something out that's really important for those that feel like they're carrying a purpose right now. Because not everyone will feel the same burden as you. Especially if you're supposed to lead it or birth it. But when you are authentic, allow people to see and feel what you are feeling, and you share your heart with what God is doing, people will not just get behind it, they will help you carry it. So he goes, gets some people. And in Nehemiah 2:12, it says, then I arose in the night. I love this because he went at night. That's fun. I and a few men with me. And I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. I love that fact. So fun. Gives us a good storytelling picture. But he then proceeds to take people with him to view the gates and the walls, which were broken down and burned with fire. And I think to myself, this guy's a little crazy. Because when he just heard of the destruction, it caused him to weep and mourn for days. So I'm just thinking, why on earth would you go and walk the land? What's going to happen when he does this, when he actually physically sees his walls being burned and he experiences that in the physical? If it was emotionally days after he just heard it, what's going to happen in the physical? But this time it's different. The first time he feels the weight of the storm. He sees it through his eyes and his lenses and it brings him pain. It's like birthing pains. He allows pain to and the anguish to get him ready for what he's about to birth through fervent prayer, which leads him to the vision. It's the action. Woo. And then he walks in the midst of the destruction, but now he sees it through the lenses of God's promises. And it starts to birth hope instead of tears. And that hope that he carries doesn't just inspire him to action. It inspires the people he brought with him to action. So join with me on verse 17 through 19. We're in chapter 2. This is where I like rally cry. He then I said to them, do you see the distress that we are in? Do you see it? How Jerusalem lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, and he gives them this, come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's word that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise and build. And then they said, they set their hands to this good work. Okay. He took people to the land that he was burdened for, that he carried passion for. He took them. He didn't tell them anything. He just allowed them to see, to experience the weight of the situation. And then he offers a rally cry that comes from a place in a man who has fought, repented, and stood for the birth of that land. And that ignites that same weight and burden on those that are there with him. And they say, let us rise and build. What would happen if the people in this church didn't just survive storms? But we allowed them to inspire us to take our place as sons and daughters and stand on his promises and pick up our swords and rebuild what the enemy tried to tear down. This place would not be the same. The church is one body with many members. And what burdens your heart and what storms you've walked through might be different than what weighs heavy on my heart. But if we allowed what burdened us to take us all in unity to the feet of Jesus and burn prayer in our hearts for those things, our cities wouldn't look the same. Our families wouldn't look the same. It would change everything. Prayer is what gets us ready to birth vision. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is what gets us ready to birth vision, not platforms, not likes on social media, not someone saying you are chosen. None of those things are bad. But none of those things carry the weight and the preparation like prayer will. So last thing I want to say before we pray. During labor, there's a point when a woman goes through what doctors call the transition period. And it's this period between active labor and getting ready to push the birth and birth the baby. It sucks. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Doctors and most women who have been through active labor will tell you that this is the shortest phase as far as time goes. But it's also the most intense. So it doesn't really feel like the shortest. But it's where the contractions start to pile up on each other. And I remember my midwife warning me, hey, at this point, when you get to this period, this is where you're going to need a lot of emotional support because this is where most women give up. But this transition period, even though it's so hard and so painful, and very scary at times, because it often has a physical response, like your muscles shaking because of the pain. It is so vital to go through because it's what gets you your baby ready, and it gets you ready to give birth. I believe some of us are walking through this transition period. And it feels like you want to give up because it's too hard and it's too painful and the storm has might cause too much destruction. But I believe it's not what it looks like. These painful contractions you are feeling are signs of evidence that birth is coming. So I don't want you to be discouraged, because even if nobody else is feeling it, if you have a burden for it, if it's causing discomfort, then pray. Pray and stand on the promises of God and take up your rightful place and bring life to it. Man, can you stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.